Oh, there were some jittery people in Japan this morning. Wow. They had a 6.8 earthquake in the ocean. There was a tsunami warning. One person killed. But, man, it was close to Fukushima again. They really got concerned about that. Anyway, we've got an hour to go of open lines for you, so get ready to let your fingers do the walking right to your phone, and we'll be right back on Coast to Coast AM. Open lines here on Coast to Coast as we move along into the middle of July next week. The fastest year ever. Do you feel this too? And if those of you who are younger, tell me if you feel it as if this year is going by fast or slow for you. I don't know if this is a syndrome of the older you get, the faster the years go. But this year is faster than last year. And I thought last year was fast. I mean, it is just springboarding along. It's unbelievable. I'm looking at my schedule for the rest of the year. A couple events, back and forth to St. Louis, the holidays, what we're going to do. I'm working on Thanksgiving. I'm working on Christmas. So I'm looking at the calendar. And I'm saying, two more months, you know, we're going to be into September. Makes no sense. I don't know where time flies. I just don't know. Let's go to Joel, truck driving in Ohio, first-time caller. Joel, how are you? By the time I get to you, you'll be in Michigan or somewhere.
I had just gotten into Ohio. Can you hear me okay? Because I'm outside. I have to stop and get fuel.
Sure.
I wanted to cover three things. I hope that's okay. I'll try to be quick.
Okay.
The first one is about, you're talking about animals and weird things with them. Our family has a Siberian Husky.
I love them.
Yes, they're beautiful dogs. We actually live in northern Nevada, so up in the Sierra, so the dog, of course, loves it. My husband and I, but being truck drivers, don't actually own a home. We just have a room at our grown son's house.
Okay.
So we're there with him, his wife, and our four grandkids. Well, one day, we were home. We were on our days off. And my daughter and I, my daughter-in-law and I went to the store. We were gone shopping. And my son had taken his boys, I don't know, to the park somewhere. He was gone. So the only one home was my husband. And he had just let the dogs out for the dog to do his business, let him out, shut the door. And then my husband went to do some things around the house and was upstairs and thought he heard somebody come home. And he kind of went to the top of the stairs and called down, didn't hear anybody. So he thought, well, maybe he just imagined it. A few minutes later, he came downstairs. Nobody was home, but the dog was in the house.
And you didn't have one of those little doggy things to come into.
Sliding glass door. It's the only door from the, we live in a tri-level, and it's the only door. It's down in the kids' playroom. It's the only door that goes outside to the back. And the dog cannot slide that door.
So let's make an assumption. The husband, your husband, did not close the door.
He would never have done that in a million years.
Right.
He's one of those shut the doors, you know, we're wasting energy types. And,
So let's rule that out.
It's the rule. And the kids are now old enough that they can let the dog in and out. And it's like, even my little six-year-old grandson can shut that big, heavy glass door.
Yeah.
And, yeah, sure, when everybody came home, he asked all of us, did you guys come home and leave again? Did you guys come home and leave again? And we're like, no. So it's still a mystery.
Maybe the husky knows how to open a door.
Our dog can walk through walls and tell people. I just tell people, I don't know how he does it, but our dog walks through walls. We still don't know how he did it.
He's got magic.
Yeah. And the second thing is people do still play board games. Our son loves board games.
Really? Which ones does he play?
His favorites are Stratego.
I love that, and Clue. I used to love that.
Yeah, and that's the other one. Well, he's military. My husband is a veteran, and he was at a nuclear missile site during the hostage crisis between the Carter and Reagan administration.
Uh-huh.
And our sons, He's currently an MP with the National Guard, and he's been deployed to Afghanistan twice and to Haiti once. So, of course, he loves Stratego. and he and his boys love playing that game. We also played Clue. And actually, one time when we played Clue, I kind of freaked them out because I've been practicing meditation now for a few years. I've also practiced Tai Chi. And I've been trying to tune up my intuition because I feel like I've seen so many times in my life where I should have listened to my gut and I didn't.
That's right. I know. I know that feeling.
And so one time we came home and he was like, come on, Mom, play Clue with us. Come play Clue with us. And I'm like, okay. I wanted to do other things. I'm a writer. I wanted to work on a manuscript I'm working on.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm like, no, family time comes first. So, yeah, I'll sit down with the kids and play Clue. And I'm not kidding. I got my little, I think I had Mrs. Peacock. I had Mrs. Peacock in a room.
With the rope.
Did my first call on it. And they went around the table. You got any cards? No. Got any cards? No. Got any cards? And they all kind of looked at me like I was weird.
You got it. You know, you nailed it.
I nailed it on the first round. I was the first one to get a chance, and the game was over.
Gosh, I used to love that game.
Oh, yeah. That, I played that when I was a kid.
That so was, kinda... I would say it was that. Stratego, maybe Monopoly after that.
Yeah. Oh, he likes Monopoly, too. I think he has a Simpsons Monopoly or something. Yeah, we have, like, four different versions of Monopoly. They have Life, Scrabble, Twister, which isn't really a board game, but the kids love it.
Tell him the next time he plays Stratego to put the flag close to the front. It'll throw, I guess he plays his son, it'll throw him way off.
I don't know what his strategy is with that, but I'll have to find out, and if not, I'll give him that suggestion.
Okay. You be careful out there. Driving, that's not an easy job, and you folks keep America going. Stratego's a game, if you've never played it. Some girls like it, too, but it's really kind of a guy's game because it's some, you know, old-time soldiers and stuff like that. I mean, it was like old-time. I mean, they're almost like World War I type, almost. But the object of the game is to capture your opponent's flag, and he can put little bombs around it and everything else. And you have tiered little soldiers, like the general was a field marshal, I think, was number one, and then the general was two, or maybe the colonel, something like that. Anyways, it was a tiered number system, through nine. And then, you know, if a two hit a three, the two won. It was one of those things. And you'd capture that guy and take him off the board. And the object was to find the flag of your opponent. And it was a great game. But you could not see them because, you know, he could see them, but you can't see on the other side. And so he can't see yours, but you can. And so that's how you play. And then you got to memorize where his pieces are when you hit them. You know, and then you go after them. Let's go to Cheryl in Huntington Beach, California. Hello, Cheryl. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Mr. Dory. Thank you for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
And thank you so much for the show tonight because you have such a wide variety of guests.
Sure do.
And subjects as well. I just called in to thank you so much to everyone at Coast for everybody's prayers for my brother, Al. And he was diagnosed with multiple myeloma.
Oh, my.
And on April 1st, and I thought it was kidding me. You know, I have an older brother, and there's just two of us. And he's been being treated at Hogue Hospital in Newport Beach. And I can't thank everybody how much he has progressed. And they've actually destroyed 10% of the cancer. And I'm praying for your sister.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. And so I've gone through cancer with both my parents and now my brother.
You've been through a lot.
But yeah, it's incredible. But you know what? God gives you the strength.
You got to learn how to reach down there somehow to do that. I mean, that's the end. This is the sad part of living. You know, living is great, and there are many just wonderful aspects of it, but This is the sad part of it, too, and you can't get away from it.
Oh, that's true. I mean, you know, we're only here for a short time, and we have to give what we give. And my brother has given immensely, especially to the ocean. And he was in the Navy, and thank you also for serving.
Oh, that's right.
He was in underwater demolition, and my father was in the Navy, a doctor. And I have 8 uncles that were all in their service, and only one is still alive. So I understand the military as well, and I enjoy your show totally. And I also wanted to mention, tonight you were talking about dogs.
Love them.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, I've had Huskies, and I've had Labradors. And I had a Golden Retriever earlier, but I like Labs, but I like Huskies. But Huskies, you can't keep them in a real warm environment. It's not fair to them.
Oh, no. They have to be in the cold.
They love it. They love it.
Yeah. I had a poodle for 13 years, and I have to tell you, I pretty much grew up with him when I was a child. You know, my parents said, what would you like? And because they had pneumonia, and they said, if you get over this pneumonia, we're going to give you a dog. You know, and they said, what kind would you like? And I told them, I said, I love a poodle. And I had that dog for 16 years, and wow, we had to spell words. Damn, that's how smart that damn dog.
Did he know mathematics? Did he know how to count?
No, I never asked him that. I suck at math, but I'm sure he was a lot better than me.
The other guy's poodle knew it. Hey, Tommy, you've got another text for us, and then you have one more later on. What do you have?
We do, from Samantha in Charlotte. She says, hey, George. The
love
other
Charlotte, by the way, when I came back from there in June, great place.
Yes, I heard it was a much fun event. So she says, hey, George, the other night I dreamed I was watching myself at work. Is that an OBE?
She dreamed it?
Yeah. It says, the other night I dreamed I was watching myself at work.
No, that's not an OBE. Because, well, I guess my question is, and she's not on the line.
Right.
Was, where were you when you had the OBE? You may have seen yourself at work, but where were you? In your living room?
No, she was sleeping. The way this reads, she dreamed, like she went to sleep, she went to bed, and then she started dreaming.
She had a dream of herself at work?
Right, like she was watching herself at work.
No, that's not an OBE at all. An OBE is an out-of-body experience. Right before you go to sleep, for example, you feel this jarring effect from your body. You literally see yourself sleeping in bed, and you go off into Never Never Land and do all these incredible things. And then you come back with a jolt in your body, and you wake up.
But you're not dead, right?
No, you're not dead. You're not dead.
So couldn't you be at work and see yourself working?
No. It's real time. It's not like, you know, I see myself walking. It's not like you have a... If you had an OBE at work, that would be different.
That's what I'm asking you. Like, if I was sitting here right now and
you floated out of your body.
Yeah, and I felt like I was looking down and watching Dan.
Yeah, I mean, some people who have been on a hospital gurney, right?
Right.
They're unconscious, but they float above their body. They can see their body, and they can see the nurse and the doctor and people talking about you. That's different. I mean, you can do that. She sounded like she was sleeping and was seeing herself at work.
Yeah, that's how it reads.
Yeah, that's not an OBE. Okay, thanks.
Okay.
Next up, we go to Ann in Coronado, California, west of the Rockies. Hello, Ann. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Listen, this is about the second time I've heard Coast to Coast. But you're doing a good job.
You've got to listen more than twice.
I know it. Well, I'll tell you what, I've got TV, my TV's out, and I've been having this station all the time now, so I really got into it tonight, and you have a lot of good subjects. But the subject I wanted to talk about was you mentioned that dreams can be really bad or something, and my dreams are always good.
Good.
And I'm disabled, and I have trouble walking. But guess what? In my dreams, I have no problems at all. I run around. In fact, I think I'm exhausted when I wake up because I get to do all these things. I'm not handicapped. I don't have to have my blocker.
How long have you been disabled now?
Oh, it's been quite a while now, and I died, and they brought me back to life.
Oh my!
Now, some people say, oh, that's good, you know, good thing, you know. But it takes a long time to get to working again, you know, your body, because you, when I woke up, the only thing I could do was move my toes, and that was therapy after therapy. I was in the hospital for 7 months.
How did you get disabled then? What happened?
Well,
I guess, are you close to the radio? Can you turn it down? If not, just let
can
it.
Can you hold? Well, I have to go across the room.
Well, I don't know. How are you going to do that? You're disabled, for crying out loud.
Well, I have a walker.
I mean, is it okay for you to walk over there? You don't have to do that.
Yeah, okay. Well, no. Okay. Is it all right now? Can you hear me? I'm putting my hand over the phone a little bit here. Is that better for you?
Well, yeah. It'll work. Don't worry.
Anyway, no, I've enjoyed your program tonight, but I have real good dreams, and I wonder if anybody else does, especially somebody that's handicapped. Do they have their legs, if their legs is removed, or do they, whatever disability that they have,
I think people dream of themselves with all their faculties.
Yeah, this is right. This is what happens to me, and I didn't know whether this is everybody does this or it's just me, but I think it's really good.
Well, it is great. It's fun to dream. Now, tell me about the disability. What happened to you?
Oh, well, on the air, there was a pharmaceutical problem and a drug that was given to me. And it was taken off the market. So I was disabled because of that.
Oh, you mean you were walking before that?
Oh, yes, I was roller skating before that.
I hope you got a pretty penny for this. Did you?
Well, I'm still working on it. I mean, it's in...
How long has it been?
It's been quite a while, and it's in a federal court, so I don't know, you know. Like,
is it a class action suit, or are you doing this on your own?
No, this is my own. This is my own. I did not want class action.
How long has the litigation been going on?
A little while, and actually, I think my...
lawyer?
Due process has been damaged. I mean, I checked back to see... You know, where my case went, why it went, how it went.
Oh, this shouldn't take this long.
Well, I think it's taken quite a while.
Yeah, they should have settled with you.
Well, I don't know. You know, I had that company calling me, and I talked to the federal judge.
You do have a lawyer doing this, don't you?
I did, and then I don't anymore, because they bailed out.
They jumped out?
They jumped out.
Oh, that's crazy.
And so I thought, yeah, I'm still working on it. But the thing that I wanted to tell you, though, I do enjoy dreaming, and I didn't know whether... I wonder if somebody else would call in and say that they have good dreams, too.
I've had people who are blind, and they call, and they see in their dreams.
Because they saw before.
Yep.
Oh, well, that's good to know. I mean, I guess it's nothing... I'm surprised, because I thought, how do I do this? But... Listen, it doesn't bother me at all.
It's remarkable. Okay, well, you take care of yourself. Look, and my advice is find yourself a lawyer and reopen your case or assign him the case, because unless you have a lawyer in these cases dealing with these insurance companies and pharmaceutical companies, Annie, you're not going to go anywhere. It's just going to sit there. And this has gone on way too long. Trust me on this. I know legalese. Get yourself a good lawyer. Who will take it as a percent. Normally, they take one-third of the take, and because you don't want to spend any money out of pocket for this. But my God, if you're disabled because of a pharmaceutical drug, you would own Coronado, California, for crying out loud. Anyway, we'll come back in a moment. More open lines, they continue right here on Coast to Coast AM. And this is our final segment of Open Lines for you. By the way, of course, Lisa Garr will be hosting Coast to Coast for you on Saturday, and our buddy George Knapp will be here on Sunday, and then I'll be back on Monday. I'll also be back in a moment to take the rest of your calls. Don't go away. Okay, welcome back to Coast. Let's go to Toledo, Ohio, to talk to Debbie east of the Rockies. Debbie, hello.
Hi, George. Have you ever heard of the terminology of people who are called game changers?
Game changers?
Mm-hmm.
Are these like people who change events or something? just by their presence?
Yeah, and this is really eerie because this whole plane Singapore situation thing that everybody has got all
Malaysia,
kinds of.
Yeah.
Malaysia, yeah. Well, I had heard, you know, that with the big soccer games that had been going on all across the country.
Uh-huh, the World Cup.
And U.S., we were playing, what was it, Portugal was one of the big games. And I was trying to record the programs for my son was coming from out of town. And so, like, they had all of these preview things on and all this. And I was watching some history things about it or whatever documentation. And I think that this is where I saw it. But there are these very, very elite professional people that are 100% accurate and get the job done, and they are called game changers, and they can fix any game, football, basketball, whatever, but soccer is the big, big thing. All over the country they go, and these guys, when they're sent to do this, the job gets done. Now, the two countries that it showed that these guys come out of is Singapore and Malaysia.
So these game changers,
they are ultra professional.
Are they criminals?
Well, I guess you would call them. I mean, if they're changing games, I mean, yeah. I mean,
well, if they're changing games, that means the players are in on it, right?
It's got to be higher than that. I mean, you've got to, if you're involved into something this deep, it's got to go to the top, to the bottom. The players are the ones that have to go along with it.
Oh, yeah. They're the ones on the field. They're the ones that have to do it.
You're the bottom man at the totem pole. But this was so interesting. And this was not like a, you know, a.
So you're saying the fix is in?
Yes, and this is a terminology, and they're called game changers. And they were talking about how powerful these guys are, and they travel anywhere they're needed, all over the world, and do any games that need to be golf and
basketball game, a baseball game.
Yep.
And so,
but soccer is the biggest.
And
the
so
biggest.
They will do what? Threaten people? Do whatever they have to do?
I don't know. I mean, you can let your imagination go. Like, let's say you've got, you know, two teams playing, and team A approaches you, their big man or their owner or their whatever, and wants to get the game fixed or something. You know what I'm saying?
It's not that blatant, Deb. That doesn't happen like that. But I am interested in these game changer people.
Well, I mean, I don't know how if they come in forcefully and say, we want to do this. I don't know.
This would be a huge story if these people were really out there doing what you say.
If they exist, I'm telling you this, and it's like, I'm pretty sure I heard it, like, when I was taping some of these programs with trying to get the soccer game.
So these are human beings. They're not like supernatural beings trying to fix
things. No, they are regular, like, business, ultra professional, you know, like, but there's ultra professional hit people and hit men and stuff like that.
So these are professional game fixers. You call them game changers.
And it blew my mind. And all of a sudden, like, then when it showed the countries like Singapore and Malaysia, I like a bell went off. I'm going, what if this had to do with something to do with that plane?
Well, I don't know. That may be a stretch. Well, I'm going to check into this. I've never heard of this. I've heard of them trying to fix games, people. But I haven't heard of a professional group out there that that does that. At all. Next up, whose turn? It is Chuck in Mississippi. Hey, Chuck. It's
Hello,
your turn.
Hello, Mr. George.
Hi there. Welcome
I'm
to the show.
I'm going to back up a little bit. Game changers. There's, you can go to a party. There are all game changers. People can come up to a party, and everything will be lame, not going good. People can come up, change it. change situation.
Yeah.
But no, you can't go to a ball game. Everybody knows everybody that's playing ball. They got a jersey number.
You'll get arrested.
Going and change that.
No, I don't think so. I mean, you can get the one guy maybe. That's happened before. Some players fixed games, but
that's right.
You can't just walk in.
That's right. Let's back on up. You talking about dogs doing numbers and things.
Yeah.
All right. Dogs and other animals. I fool with all kind of, I pick up every lame little dog. I pick up every little animal I can pick up.
Good for you.
I pick up one at a time, and I bring it back to life, and I teach it things, and I get rid of them, give it to somebody because somebody wants it.
Good for you.
But that's right. Thank you. But you can teach it to get up on one little milk crate, a little foot or so.
They're smart.
You can get up on another one. And you get on up. But if you change that little distance, little dog don't want to do it. All right? We can move on. All right? So you're talking about worried about how time flies. I worry about it, too. And I think, Mr. George, the older we get, what we're doing, we're coming on down to earth, you and I. We're slowing down is what we're doing. And we are looking more at calendars, like you said, you do. You see that calendar?
It's gone.
Calendar go by and bye.
You look at it's, that. I'm looking at April. I'm looking at August, September, October. And it's going
right.
to be here like that.
That's right. And the cell phones are making you more aware of it.
Well,
it's technology.
That could be. That could be. Hey, Tom, you've got a text for me. Is the clock talking about the clock ticking? What do you got?
This is from Carol in Midland, Texas.
Okay.
She texts. She says, George, yesterday I offered a homeless person a meal. He told me he wanted money instead, so I gave him $5. Do you think I'm a sucker or a good person still?
If you feel good about giving him the money, then so be it. Whatever he does with it,
yeah.
Whether he goes out to buy a little pint of booze or a hamburger, that's his business. But you did the right thing. You know, I do that too all the time. There's a little corner, Tom, as you know, when we go into Denver and Boulder, Colorado for Beyond Belief. There's always a few homeless people mm-hmm. out there at the corner.
Sure do.
I've had our driver stop, and I've given him $20. You know, he might go down to his local 7-Eleven and buy, you know, a hot dog. Or maybe he goes to some booze place and buys that. It's not my business.
So if she would have moved on, and gave it to someone else and gave him the meal, she'd still be a good person.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's what I think she's looking for. So you remember the caller, Ann?
Ann from Coronado, California?
You were telling her about the lawyer. She
needs a lawyer.
I swear, though, I was waiting for you to say, better call Saul.
Oh, no, I couldn't do it then. That's from Breaking Bad.
Yeah, it's so funny.
To those who might know.
That's so funny.
They're coming out with another series with him, by the way.
That's what I understand. I understand they're filming now.
You know, it's a great show, but Saul is hilarious.
he is, and you know what? I've been laughing all night for some reason. I love open lines, and I was thinking to myself, now, we haven't done this in a long time. Remember we play every so often that little car thing, that car crash?
Oh, the guy that gets hit by the women?
I think we should do it.
Yeah, the guy who was late going to work, and he left a message on his boss's answering machine as he was doing a play-by-play of a car crash.
You never keep a straight face. It's so funny.
Do we have it? Does Dan have it?
I'm sure he is. Yeah, right. He's shaking his head. He does.
All right. We'll play that. We haven't played that in a long time.
Okay, cool.
Very long time. Okay, great.
See ya.
All right. Well, I've only got about a minute and a half or so to go before then. I have to play that. Let me try to figure out because I think that thing runs 22. Well, I got to be playing that pretty soon. Okay. Didn't give us much time, but we're going to have to do it. You already have it back timed? Pretty good. I guess that's what a producer does, right? Very good. Very good. So here we are Saturday. It'll be Lisa Gar hosting Coast to Coast for you. On Sunday, it'll be George Knapp. I'll be back on Monday. We've got another great week of shows for you. Just some incredible ones. I don't know how Lisa and Tom just keep pumping these out, but they do not stop. And it continues to grow. Milestones have hit 570 radio stations. I think that could be higher. I'm supposed to get a new affiliates list pretty soon. It has become the second largest affiliate program in the country, thanks to you. When I first came in 11 years ago, we were at 445 stations. We've increased it by 125 radio stations. Plus, our Coast Insiders just continues to grow, too, more and more and more. Anyways, here's a story. A guy was on his way to work. He was late. He called his boss and literally gave him a play-by-play of what he witnessed.
Hey, Mark, excuse me. I'm on my way to 3768. Kind of got hung up. It's raining out here. I'm on my way into Dallas. Jerry's probably going to be calling you to find out where I'm at if he can't get a hold of me, I'm sure. So thought, whoa. Man, I just had a wreck right in front of me. This guy ran a red light and hit four old ladies in an Impala. Just kind of clipped them and turned them around right in front of me, man. That was close. Oh, now this guy's getting out of his car. He's got a white shirt on with a tie and a cigarette hanging out of his mouth. He's throwing his hands up in the air like it was their fault. Oh, hold on. He's going over to their window. She's rolling down the window. Oh, man, I think she sprayed him with pepper spray, man. He's holding his face, and he's on his knee. She's getting out. She's beating him with an umbrella. The other women are getting out, too. There's one woman with a little black purse. She's tomahawking him, man. She looks like a Sunbelt 20 horsepower jackhammer. Blah, blah, blah. We got another woman she's hitting him like she's got a cattle prod, man. She's got an umbrella and she's sticking it in his side. Oh, there's another one. It's a little woman. Looks like Mother Goose. She beat him. She's got this U-bit bag. She beat him. She's got this U-bit bag. It's huge. It's about the size of her. She's about 4 foot nothing. She hit him over the head. Everything went all over the place. Her Bible fell. She just hit him in the head with a Bible. She picked this Bible up and she lifted it way over her head. It was a hardback NVI version. Oh, they still beat the out of this guy. She picked his Bible up and raised it up above her head and just beamed the guy. This guy's not getting up. They're still hitting him. The one with the little black purse is still all pieces of him. Okay, he's up on the car. The little woman just beamed him again with that big bag. He's running to his car. He's out of here.
Well, you never knew that your baby was a hybrid. But as he grew, you began to see the clues. Now you know the signs, cause you learned it from George Norrie. Even while you sleep, you got Martians watching you. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. And I can see the light, and I also see a ghost. Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Good morning or good evening, wherever you may be. Whichever world you're living in, whatever century.
For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasor, Stephanie Smith, Chris Morales, George Napinard Bell, I'm George Dory, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.